So I was a senior in high school and had just finished my last home track meet of the season. And as we closed up the locker room, some of the seniors gathered together and decided that we wanted to go out to celebrate this momentous occasion. And so, like any group of seniors who are hungry and without jobs, we thought of the cheapest and closest place we could go to get some food. We'd been competing all afternoon, we'd been working pretty hard, and at this point we were just starving. And so we quickly decided on CC's all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. And so we pile in our cars and we roll up to CC's about 20 minutes or so later, and as we walk in the door at about 10:30 on this Friday night, the manager greets us at the cash register and says to us in a very serious tone, boys, we're going to close in about a half an hour. So here's the deal. We're not going to cook any new pizzas, but anything that's already on the buffet, you can eat for free. Yeah. This is like Christmas morning in April, right? This is just glory, hallelujah, the Lord has come. And so we, of course, agree to this deal, and we go and gorge ourselves on what is now, at best, lukewarm pizza, pasta, and those delightful little cinnamon bites that they have. And we leave that night feeling completely victorious, as though every hunger we had ever had could finally be satisfied. And then the next morning comes. And to say the least, it's a different story, right? I won't go into details because you can probably fill in the gaps for yourself, but needless to say, none of us had a happy ending to this particular tale. And what we realized in this experience is that perhaps when we were as hungry as we were, filling ourselves up with grease and cheese and cinnamon rolls might not have been the best strategy to satisfy our hunger. Who am I kidding? Those cinnamon rolls are delicious. But the meat and cheese, maybe not the best choice, right? We had gone in hungry. We'd done everything we could to fill ourselves with the cheapest, most readily available thing that we could find, and we ended up feeling worse than we did when we started. That's a silly story, of course, and it's a story that comes to mind because all through Lent, on our Wednesday evenings, we've been talking about human hungers. Our hungers for purpose, our hungers for security and for forgiveness. And we've heard story after story about how throughout history, people have expressed these hungers. Even on Sunday mornings, as we've heard stories about our covenants, we've been reminded about the Israelites who were hungry in the wilderness, longing for something to fill their stomachs, or Abraham and Sarah who were hungry for a child. Throughout Scripture, we hear these stories of people who are hungry, who are just trying to fill this longing that they have in their life. They're trying to find something to fill themselves with. But just like that night in CC's, though we might walk in ravenously hungry, we cannot simply fill ourselves with the cheapest and most readily available thing that we find. The crowd that is following Jesus this morning is no different than those stories that we heard or than us this morning. They too are hungry. In this case, they're hungry for someone to overthrow their Roman occupiers. They're hungry for someone to set them free from the burdens of the laws set up by the religious leaders of the time. They're hungry for someone to let them feel safe and secure in their own land. They're even hungry for someone to just feed their stomachs. They're hungry for a king. But to understand what it means for them to be hungry for a king, we need to jump way back to the stories of 1 Samuel. And see, before the kings of Israel, there was a time when Israel was living in their land, and they didn't have a king. They had judges that would come up and would lead for a time. This is the whole book of Judges, right? And so they'd lead for a time. There wasn't a line of succession. There wasn't the authority and power of a king. They would just lead for a time. And as that period of time was coming to a close, there was a prophet named Samuel. And Samuel was getting old. He'd been a religious leader for a while, and so the people came to Samuel and said, "You know, we're worried about what's going to happen when you die. And so we've been looking around, and we see all these nations that are around us, and they all have kings, and we think that's a pretty good deal, so we would like a king too." And Samuel's really concerned about this because Samuel understands that the reason Israel doesn't have a king is that God is supposed to be their king. You don't need an earthly king if God is your king. And so Samuel prays and says, God, what am I supposed to do about this? And God responds by saying, you know what? Tell them what a king will do. So Samuel goes back to the people, and Samuel says, all right, here's the deal. You don't want a king, because a king is going to take a tenth of everything you have. Your flocks, your land, your money, your fields, everything you have will go to the king. A king will take your young men and put them into battle for him. A king will take your young women and make them his handmaids. You don't want a king. And the Israelites think about this for a little while. They come back to Samuel and they say, we still want a king. We see this thing that other countries have. We have this hunger, and we think a king will fill it. So God gives them a king, and we get King Saul, the first king of Israel. Now fast forward back to our story this morning, and again we have a crowd of Israelites hungry for a king. Even their shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna literally translates to save us now, or Lord, save us. It's what you would shout as a conquering hero. Someone is riding through your town to take control. A king coming through your town. They are welcoming what they think is their king, the king who will come back and sit on the throne of their ancestor David, who will come and kick out the Roman occupiers and set them free and fill this hunger. This is the king that they are waiting for, but they've forgotten. They've forgotten that all the kings that have come before, from Saul forward, every single one has failed them. They've forgotten that though they were filled for a time, the kings of Israel left them exiled, enslaved, and now under Roman rule. The kings of this world cannot fill their hunger. But over these next 8 days, this same crowd that walks before Jesus and shouts Hosanna on this morning will witness God's actions to fill their hunger. They will see the lengths to which God is willing to go in order to satisfy and offer food that will satisfy. They will see that God will indeed fill and feed them, but it won't come in the form of a king who will overthrow the Romans and take a seat on the throne. It'll come in the form of a man, God in human form, who will break bread with his disciples, who will humble himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, who will lay in a tomb as his followers grieve. This is the food that God offers. This is the food that will satisfy their hunger. Now we too are aware that we are hungry. Like all those who have gone before us, the crowd that's hungry for a king, the disciples who are hungry for places of power and prestige at Jesus' right and left hands, we're hungry. So what are you hungry for? Are you hungry for authentic community? Are you hungry for meaningful expressions of love? Are you hungry for a closer connection to God? Are you hungry for safety and security for our children, for an end to the violence that leaves innocent people dead in our streets? Are you hungry for justice for all people? Are you hungry for more meaning in your life than just a commute to work every day? Are you hungry for mercy? Are you hungry for forgiveness? For your own actions? For the actions taken against you? What are you hungry for? And what are you trying to fill that hunger with? Are you filling it with the food that will satisfy? Are you filling it with the all-you-can-eat pizza buffet? See, in this week, in these 8 days, as we journey through Maundy Thursday to Good Friday to the Easter Vigil to Easter morning, we become those witnesses. We see firsthand the actions that God will take to offer us food that will satisfy. And so though we might feel as though our forks are empty, though our hunger can never be filled, God offers us a food to fill our deepest hungers through his Son, Jesus Christ. So this week, stop turning to the all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Stop looking to fill your hunger with the kings of this world who, I promise, will fail you. The car, the money, the job promotion, the retirement plan, the test score, the sports team, all of them will fail you if you are depending on them to fill your deepest hungers. The kings of this world cannot give you the food that will satisfy. So journey with us as we hear the story of the king who is not of this world. The king who fills our hunger by emptying himself, who offers us life by sacrificing his own life. Join us this morning as we shout Hosanna, and then remember that this journey is just beginning. God loves each of you, and I do too.